All right, Luke chapter 4. I hope you have your Bible, Luke chapter 4. We've been studying the life of Christ on Wednesday nights. I hadn't really been preaching a whole lot. I've been teaching on the life of Christ because I said last week a lot of people read the Bible, but they don't really read the Bible. They'll read a verse here and a verse there. And they'll read a little devotional, which will have a little verse in it, and then something somebody said. But very few people nowadays really sit down and read the Bible through. So therefore, very few people know about the life of Jesus Christ. They know about Jesus Christ. They know that He was born of a virgin, He lived a sinless life, He died in our place, and He rose from the dead the third day, and He's coming back in all His glory. They know that because they've heard that over and over and over. But very few know what He said and did while He was walking here on planet Earth as a man in the flesh. So we begin to study some of the things He said and that He has done. And tonight we're in Luke chapter 4. Let's start with verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of Him through all the region round about. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written. This is what it said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed the book, and He gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And He said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And He said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you a truth, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto the a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they'd heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up, and thrust Him out of the city, and led Him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast Him down headlong. But He, passing through the midst of them, went His way. Father, help us tonight. These folks didn't come here to hear from me. They came to hear from Thee. And I pray tonight, Lord, You would open our eyes of understanding, our ears that we might hear, our mind that we might understand, and our heart that we might receive what God says in His Word. I pray if there's one among us tonight that does not know this Savior, tonight would be the glad night they would be born again. I pray for those of us who do know the Savior, God, that you draw us closer to thee tonight. And let us leave better than what we came in. And one day we'll get to heaven. And when we do, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor. Because we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Now Jesus had just come back from his fasting and temptation. And as he began to go through the land and preach and teach, the Bible says that all the people, in verse 15, he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. As he would go from synagogue to synagogue, that's like our church to the Jew, and as they would listen to him, they would all glorify God because of who he was and what he had to say. Until he got home. It says he went to Nazareth, and when he got to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read, and they gave him the book of the prophet Isaiah to the minister of the synagogue, the rabbi in charge, and they had big scrolls. They didn't have books, and he handed him that scroll. He said, this is what we're reading out of this week. So he opened it up, and he read it, and he said, now this has come to pass today. I'm here. I'm the one you've been looking for. I'm the one this scripture's talking about. And you would think, boy, he's going to be the hometown hero. Everybody's going to rejoice. They're going to say, look what we produced in our town. You know, he's better than a great football quarterback. Amen. He's better than somebody that plays for the Charlotte Knights. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And he's somebody. Listen to that fellow preach. God is on him. He must be the Son of God. That's what we would think they would say. I mean, he's at home. That's where he grew up. And they looked at him when he got through and they said, is this not the son of Joseph the carpenter? They didn't see him as the Son of God. Now, all they could see was that little boy. And by the way, it says it happens to you too. There's no prophet receives honor in their own country. You get saved and you go home and you tell everybody you got saved and all your kinfolks kind of grin at you and they'll say, yeah, but we know the real you. And you get born again, you go down there on the job, you know, and you tell them, you say, man, I'm not drinking any more liquor, I'm not doing any more drugs, I'm not cussing, I'm not telling dirty jokes, I'm not listening to one, I'm not dipping or chewing, and I'm not even dating girls that's doing, amen? I'm not going to do that anymore, I'm a wonderful guy, and I'm going to do right, and I'm not going to live like that anymore. And they all look at you and say, oh yeah, we know you. And that's exactly what they did to him. And you would think, I would think, that they would glorify him. Everybody else did. Every synagogue he went in, he stood up, he read the scripture, and he said, this is me. This is the one Isaiah was talking about. It's me he was talking about. And I'm here to preach the gospel and heal and give sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. He didn't even mention it, but raise the dead. And I'm going to do that. And that's what I'm here for, to give the poor people the gospel. And they didn't say anything. They just sat there. It's a real lesson if we'll look at it for us. Boy, I remember when I got saved. I didn't know one Bible verse. I didn't know a hymn. I knew Amazing Grace because they made it a contemporary rock song or something and put it on the radio. And when I was in junior high school, I remember they played it all the time. That country music singer made it a big hit on the radio. That's the only song I knew. I got saved. And I went back down there to Lancaster where all my family and friends were, you know, and they would say, I'm just so happy for you. And they'd say it with that kind of a look on their face, you know. And some of them would say, well, you got religion, that's okay, but don't bother me with that because you'll be back down here pretty soon with us.
I thought, when I got saved, I thought, man, I once was blind, now I see. I didn't understand spiritual things, now I do. And I'm full of the love of God. And ain't that what we've been singing about? Love, love, love. And I'm going to go tell all my friends I grew up with, because they must be looking for the same thing I was looking for in the bottom of that bottle and didn't find, you know. And with that crowd and down there at that club and didn't find. And they must be looking for the same thing I was. They don't know this. And I'm going to go down there and tell them this, and they're going to get saved too. And I went down there and told them. They said, oh, I already know that. We already heard that. I said, but I didn't grow up in church. I never heard all this. They said, oh, we've been hearing that all our life. I said, but have you ever done it? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever been born again? Have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior? And they'd say, yeah, we tried that religion. It didn't work real good. We gave that up. And I can name you 20 of them right now that said stuff like that to me, and every one of them dead. I'm only 63. So they were my age and younger. I stopped at the store the other day and bought some stuff, and the lady said something and about me. It was about her having a birthday at the cash register. And I said, well, I'm fixing to have a birthday. She said, you are? I said, yeah, in April. She smiled. She said, how old are you going to be? I said, well, I'm 63. She said, oh, you don't look 63. She said, you look in pretty good shape for 63. I said, thank you. Is there anything else you need me to buy? As long as you talk like that, I'm going to buy something else. You know. But every one of them's gone. Tragic deaths, stabbings, shootings, car wrecks. One fell off a horse and hit his head and died. All kinds of ways of death. But and I ran down there and tried to get them saved, and they just looked at me. It was my hometown.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
We know you. We know you. Billy Burgess' daddy even talked to one of them, and he said, he's a hypocrite. And his daddy said, why would you say that? I was only 23 years old. Why would you say that? He said, because nobody can change that much. Hey, I've been a hypocrite many times, but I'll tell you what, it ain't that much. He saved me that much. Amen?
Amen.
I've failed him. If you can fail him, I've let him down. If you can let him down, and that's what really a hypocrite is anyway. And you're a hypocrite. You say things and don't do them, or you say things really don't mean them. And you say you hate Walmart, and you keep going anyway. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, we like sin. But listen, you think when you tell people, boy, I found the Son of God, or he found me. And you think they'd all say, well, let's get on the phone, call everybody, let's get a crowd up, and you talk to them. No, they didn't want to hear what I had to say. But then I come back to Rock Hill, and I go to places, and I tell the story, and they'll say, oh, man, you think the Lord could do that for me? I went back to work at the industrial cotton mill after I got saved, Sister Mary, and I didn't know anything about the Bible. And Tommy Owens, our loved man there, he got me that Bible out of that work cabinet, brought up there, and I was sitting on my job and the machine be running, and I'd sit there and I'd start reading stuff about Jesus. I'd start crying, and people would walk out there to the door of my department, stand there and look at me, and they'd say, oh, hippie got saved, he got religion. And I'd tell them, I said, look, I don't have religion. I don't even know everything. All I know is I was lost and now I'm found. I was dead, now I'm alive. I was blind, but now I see. He gave me a new heart and a new mind. That's all I know. I don't know how it happened. You have to come to church with me. That preacher preaches it every Sunday.
Amen.
Old bully fog breath. That's all they ever preach. How to be saved? Know it. And some of them would come, and then some of them look at me and they'd say, well, you know, we tried that church stuff. It didn't work for me. Well, I'm glad I never got into church stuff. I'm glad I met the Savior that day. Amen. All right. Did you know in verse 16 it says he went into that synagogue? Did you know on the Sabbath that was his custom, was to go to church? Think about what I just said. God attended church. Boy, we need God to show up in a whole lot of churches nowadays. Amen. Amen. He's missing in most of them. But God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God come down into a human body, went to the synagogue, read His own word, read it out loud. God read that. God, who is the Word, read the Word, preached the Word, God Himself. All we get secondhand business from preachers like me. But the Lord Jesus showed up. I wish He'd show up here.
Amen.
Boy, it scares some people. Well, I've been in church when the Lord showed up. Oh my goodness. You could feel the hair stand up on the back of your neck and up and down your arms. You'd feel the hair stand up. I remember when I was under conviction and the preacher would preach and they'd give the invitation and they'd be singing those songs, invitation hymns, you know. And the hair would stand up on my arms and on the back of my neck and my heart would be pounding, you know, like that. And something would be saying, you need to go get that. That's what you need. That's what you need. It was the Holy Spirit. It was God talking. I didn't hear Him up here. I heard Him up here and there. And I couldn't breathe, Brother Jeffrey. I'd be going, boy, if I ever get out of here, I ain't never coming in this place again. These people's crazy. That preacher's crazy. They sing like they believe that stuff. He's preaching like he believes that stuff. They need to get some Led Zeppelin in here, Black Zeppelin. Oh, that's the Elevation Church, ain't it? I just thought I'd throw that in there and make you mad. Listen, when God showed up, these people should have known it. But it's sad to say, God shows up a lot of times in church and people don't even recognize He's there.
Come on now. Yeah.
And if the pastor begins to preach the message and the Holy Spirit begins to convict people of their sins, and listen, we don't hear it out loud, but in our heart we say, He's talking to you. Listen, He's talking to you. And instead of getting convicted and then converted, we get mad. Who's that preacher think he is talking like that to me? I had a fellow leave out of here one day and he told me, he said, Pastor, every time I come down here, every service I come down here, every week I come down here, you're preaching right at me. I said, you don't really think that, do you? Yes, yes, you're talking about me. I don't know who told you all that stuff. I said, I don't even know who you are. I don't know what you're talking about. What happened was the Lord showed up. And the Lord was doing the preaching. Amen?
Amen.
And He felt the power and the presence of a holy God on a sinful man. And it affected his heart and his mind. And that's exactly what happened in this synagogue. You see what they should have done. And by the way, we didn't do it right either for a long time. It took me 3 years. I probably went to that church 5 or 6 times in 3 years. And I heard the gospel and turned it down and turned it down, turned it down. Then the Lord started sending people to my house to sit on my couch to witness to me. And I heard the gospel and turned it down, heard the gospel and turned it down. In 3 years, I probably turned the gospel down 15 or 20 times. But finally, on that last day, March 5th, 1978, I was sitting over there, 6 pew on the left-hand side at that old church. I ain't there no more. And I felt when God cut me in. Boy, I started crying. I said, God, if you give me the courage to go down there, God, that's exactly what I need. If you'll help me move my feet, Lord, I'm a coward. These people are going to talk bad about me, and they're going to laugh at me and make fun of me. But God, if you'll help me, I'll go down there. And I found myself going down that aisle. And the farther I went, the more I cried, the more I cried, the more weight came off, and the more weight came off, the guilt fell off. And the more I felt God, I'm saved before I ever even got down there. I didn't know I was saved. I didn't know what the Bible said. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And when I stepped out of that aisle, that was believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. When I started down that aisle, I was going to Him. I didn't know He was already on me. And I thought they was going to put me through some kind of formula or something up here. Instead, took me to a little room. Mr. Wayne Henson took scriptures, read me about 3 scriptures. I was crying so hard I couldn't breathe. And he said, "You believe that?" I said, "Yeah, the Bible says that." "Yeah, yeah." He said, "You believe you're a sinner?" I said, "I know I'm a sinner." He said, "You believe you're going to hell?" I said, "If anybody's going to hell, I'm going to hell. If there's a God in heaven, I'll go to hell." He said, "You believe Jesus died in your place?" I said, "The best way I know how. I really don't understand it, but yeah, I believe it." He said, "If you'll ask him, he'll save you." I said, "I don't know how to pray." He said, "If I tell you what to pray, will you pray?" If he'd have said, "Stand on your head and whistle Dixie backwards and read out of the Bible," I'd have done it. And all he said was, "Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner." I said, "Dear God, no, I'm a sinner. I don't want to go to hell, though." I said, "I don't want to go to hell. I believe Jesus died for my sins." I said, "I believe he died for my sins. And I'm asking him to save me right now and come into my heart, my life, and make me a new creature and take me to heaven when I die." And I mumbled that out somewhere. And I went out. They took me out front. And that big old preacher about your size had fingers that big around. He hugged me. He said, "Son, did you get saved?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "How you know?" I said, "I feel it. I felt the presence of God. I felt the peace of God then. I felt the comfort of God then. God was in there." He said, "That ain't it." He said, "Tomorrow the devil's going to come along and tell you made a fool out of yourself, and all these feelings are going to be gone." He said, "Now how do you know if you died you go to heaven right now?" I said, "I feel it." He said, "Uh-uh. Did you ask him to save you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Did he say he would?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "And what does that make you?" I said, "Saved." Well, I want him to show up here. I want him to show up. I want him to show up. Hey, I don't want to have a church service without him. I'll never ask him to leave. And if you do, I'll leave. Look at verse 17. I got to hurry. Look at verse 17. "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" He quoted them Isaiah 61 verse 1 and 2. And he told them when he sat down, he said, "Okay, this is fulfilled." And what he was saying was, "I'm him." He preached a word to them, but they didn't see it. I believe the place was full. You know why I know? Because he'd been to synagogue after synagogue after synagogue on the way there, and he'd already done some miracles on the way there, and he'd already got a big crowd following him when he got there. I bet they couldn't all get in the building, and they're sitting there packed out in total awe of, "Who is this guy?" He simply read the word, that's all he did, and then he sat down. There wasn't any flashing lights. Wasn't any colored lights. They didn't have that pretty blue, red, green background lights. They didn't have that dry ice smoke rolling out across the platform, you know. They didn't even have a steel guitar. Didn't have any drums. They didn't even have a band. You know, "Jesus is my boyfriend" songs. He preached the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Holroyd, this is recorded, and I hope your Presbyterian friend hears this. He talked to a Presbyterian pastor, had a conversation with him about salvation, church, false church.
And the man was astounded because they had taught, he had just graduated seminary. We call it cemetery. If you had any faith going in, they killed it by the time you got out. And they had taught him in the seminary all of the ins and outs and the mechanics of the Presbyterian Church and how that goes back to the Catholic Church, but they never taught him the Word of God. I tell you, sometimes when you come down here, you're not going to get a book report here. You're going to get a King James Bible. I'm going to quote the scriptures and I'm going to expound on that. Now, my explanation may not always be perfect. I'm an imperfect human being just like you are. But I'll tell you what is perfect. The Word of God's perfect.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, some of y'all might look at me and say, I wish that old redneck would shut up and go home so I could get out of here. But the Word of God will do a work. It's the Word that saves. It's the Word that keeps. It's the Word that edifies, sanctifies. It's the Word of God that we look to, not anything else.
Amen.
Go ahead and say it. Make you mad while I'm on it. No hope in the Pope.
Amen.
Got quiet on that, didn't you? You better go by, thus saith the Lord. I'll go ahead and say this too. Just because you join church don't make you say. The devil goes to church every Sunday. He's more faithful than most Baptists. I'll go ahead and say it. Just because you got baptized, scripturally baptized, which is under, that's immersed, baptizo, to put under. Just because you got scripturally baptized, you don't have a whole lot to be proud of, because if getting baptized saved you, then every catfish in Catawba River be going to heaven. Boy, think how nasty that would be. He preached the word. He read Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Now, you listen to me. But I wish my pastor was more like Dr. So-and-so over here, because he has all these illustration books that he reads. Well, I got some real illustrations that I've lived. Amen. And he pronounces all of his words just right. And Jeffrey can't write a book about his southern sayings like nervous as a long-tailed cat in a rocking chair factory. Or a Yankee at the Robert E. Lee Monument. Amen. Listen, Pastor, you ought to be more cultured. This is my culture. This fellow came up from Alabama one time and he preached from wonderful preacher. And after a few days, he said, Pastor, I need to ask you something. I said, what's that? He said, you have black people in your church. I said, huh? We did. We probably had 3 or 4 families of black people at that time. I said, yeah, what about it? He said, we don't do that in Alabama. I said, it's about time to start, ain't it? I said, what do you do? Go to the neighborhood, knock on the door. If somebody wrong color comes to the door, you just say, bye, and leave. Don't you give the gospel to everybody? And then what if they get saved? Where are you going to send them to church? Well, you let them, Lord. You ought to get them in your church. Amen?
Amen.
And then I had a fellow from up north. You know, he was of the northern persuasion. I've been all up there. Don't get me wrong. And he told me one time, he said, Pastor, your church sings Southern. I said, no, we don't. Don't mistake Southern for country music, okay? We do sing Southern. We don't sing country music. By the way, they don't make country music anymore anyway. I heard in the dentist's office the other day, it's rap and everything else they call country now. But see, our culture is the way we're raised. Your culture doesn't save you nor damn you. Jesus saves you. Amen? How? Through His Word. Did you know God doesn't have any grandchildren? You ever thought about that? Just because your mama saved doesn't make you saved. Just because your daddy was a deacon in the church is not getting you one brick in heaven. Ye must be born again. Everybody must be born again.
Amen.
You say, well, I grew up in the church. I grew up in the church nursery, and I've been in church all my life. Well, that's wonderful. But have you ever, through the Word of God, received the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, that means the right, the authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, you see, the problem with this synagogue here is they wanted their religion. They didn't want the one that their religion was talking about. Amen. And the same problem in our churches. We've got a lot of people that want church religion, but they don't want a new birth or salvation experience because it might have to change their lives. My time's up. I took my pastor not long after I got saved to visit the man that was best man in my wedding. I wanted him saved. We went down there and we went in and my pastor began to witness to him, you know, and got him right to just about saying yes. I could see his mouth was about to say yes and the phone rang, so he jumped up and answered the phone. And then my pastor started over when he sat down and the boy's mouth was about, I could tell he was about to say, and his little boy fell off the steps. He had to go get his little boy. And then the pastor started over again and then he was just about to say, and his wife walked in the door. So he said, come on over here. I'm going to tell you what I've been telling him. So he did. And this girl grew up in church. And so did the young man. And he said, wouldn't you, and I'm not going to say their name because we're on the internet, but wouldn't you love to see your husband get saved? That's what the pastor said to the wife. She said, no. He said, why not? She said, because if he gets saved, it's going to change his whole life. And he will expect me to change my life, and I don't want to. As far as I know, he went from there to a drug addict, to a crackhead, cocaine, and died young. As far as I know, nothing ever changed. Now, there's a lot of Christian, well, church people like that too. They're afraid if they get saved, they're going to have to give up their religion. I read of a pastor in Louisiana. He got, after 26 years, a Baptist preacher, after 26 years of preaching, he got born again. Under his own preaching, he got saved. He stood up and told the church, and that next week they voted him out as pastor. Amen. Look at verse 22, and I'm going to quit. Verse 22, famous last words, and all bearing witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily, I say unto you, no prophets except it is his own country. You know what he's saying? Everywhere I've been, there have been miracles happening. And now you're going to want me to prove myself by doing a miracle. And you don't get saved because of miracles. You get saved because of faith in Jesus Christ. The man that says, if there's God up there, strike me with lightning, he'll never get saved. The woman says, I'll get saved when he heals my son. You'll never get saved. Because, see, that's not faith. That's sight. See. Now, look at verse 23. In verse 23, I'll read near their minds. He said, ye will surely say unto me. Did you know he knew they weren't going to receive him the moment he walked? Before he ever walked in there, he knew it. And as he began to read the scripture, he knew that they were going to turn against him. But he did it anyway. You know why? He loved them too. He wanted to give them opportunity too. You know, people, me and you, will look at him and say, man, that guy's so wicked, that gal so wicked, I don't think she'll ever get saved. But God will give that person the gospel and give them the gospel and give them the gospel and give them the gospel just like he did me and you, because he's not willing that any should perish but that all should come to repentance. He loves everybody. Now,
They didn't like what he said. They tried to kill him for it. They took him outside. They want to throw him off a cliff. And he did a miracle then. Somehow, he blinded them where they couldn't see him. And he walked right through the crowd and walked out there. And they didn't even know where he went. That's God. Now, everywhere you go and you talk about Jesus, there's going to be a controversy. And there's going to be conflict. But I've got news for you. You won't be the hometown hero to everybody, but if you'll get one of them saved, you'll have the best friend you ever had in your whole life. Now, I don't know everything about everybody in here, but I know this. There are two kinds of people in the church, saved and lost. Some think they're saved. Some know they're saved. Some's not saved and they know they're not saved. Some are saved and they're not real sure about it all the time, but they're saved. Here's what I would do if I were you. I would recognize Jesus for who He is, the sinless Son of God, who lived the life you can't live and paid your sin debt, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you recognize Him for that. You don't have to understand all the doctrines, and you don't have to understand, you don't have to know where every book in the Bible is, as long as you know that you know Jesus Christ as your personal, not the Savior, your Savior.
Amen.
You receive Him. You receive Him. That's how you get saved. Well, preacher, I got to quit this. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you got to quit anything. But I got to join. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you got to join anything. It says, but whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believes shall not be ashamed. Now, I'm not ashamed of Him. I'm sure He's been ashamed of me. I've never been ashamed of Him since March the 5th, 1978. He's been good to me. Now, if you don't know Him today, I'm going to put this preacher right here. Stand right here, preacher, with a Bible. He can take you through a couple of Scriptures and pray with you, tell you what to pray. Maybe tonight, Lord, just touch you about something else. You just won't come to the altar. I know it's a little bit crowded. But you can come to the altar and pray. Nobody's going to bother you unless you want somebody to pray with you. If you want somebody to pray with you, my wife will pray with you if you're a lady. And I'll get one of the fellas to pray. Thomas will pray with you if you're a man. Okay? Come on. Come on.